He is so good to us, takes good care of us all the way through. And that gives us hope, and it gives us faith, and gives us the ability to be happy, filled with joy every single day, regardless of what's going on in the dust storm around us. Not many announcements this week. Lent starts on Wednesday. We will not be having a service. I put that in there just to make sure nobody shows up. And then we move into Lent. And the minutes or the agenda on Wednesday for the diaconate, I put the wrong season in there. No, we're not moving into Christmas. We're moving into Lent. Kathy and I have provided for you a devotional for the Lenten season. They're back there. There's still two devotional books back there. If you would like them, please take them. And still a couple of those little note pads that Julie and Brian had provided before. I think there's still a couple of them left there too. They're there for you. So take one if you would like one. The Lenten season for me is not somber and sorrowful. It is a time of joy because I know the end of the story. You know the end of the story. So we will enjoy studying all of the goodness of our God. I think that is all the announcements. Did I miss anything? Oops. Sorry. So for those of you who are aware, have been aware of the sagas going on this week in a couple of families. For our little saga, Kathy is fine. She got a stent, and I'll tell the whole saga in our Sunday school class today. It was just a series of miracles, and I was talking with Julie, sensing the flow of the Holy Spirit. She did as well this week. It's just phenomenal to be so tuned in to the Lord. So awesome. Any announcements I missed? Okay. I'd like to begin a call to worship, actually from two passages this morning. The first is from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. This is David's prayer. Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. And then from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. The Lord has appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. I will build you up again and you will be rebuilt. Again, you will take up your timbrels and go out and dance with the joyful. This is what the Lord says. They will come with weeping, and they will pray as I bring them back. I will lead them beside streams of water on a level path where they will not stumble, because I am their Father. Our opening hymn is number 58, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. If you'd like to stand,
I sing the mighty power of God that all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how your wonders are displayed where if I survey the ground I tread, or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes your glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow by order from your throne. All people, Lord,
Father God, we honor you today. All of our lives are about you. You are the center of our heart, the center of our being. And so we give you this morning together glory, honor, praise, and worship. Please receive the praise and worship of your people all over the world. Receive it as it rises to you as sweet incense to your throne. Through your Son, who is our Lord, whose name is Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
First reading today is from Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame. When I consider all your commands, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. I will obey your decrees and not utterly forsake me. Second reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 to 37. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, 'Raca,' is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'Do not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go to hell. It has been said, 'Anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce.' But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to commit adultery. And anyone who marries a woman so divorced commits adultery. Again, you have heard it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not break your oath, but keep the oath that you have made to the Lord.' But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
We have an opportunity to present our tithes and offerings to the Lord. A reminder that today is Covenant Kids Congo. And so the little coconut that Barb will be carrying around with her is for that offering. Let's pray together. With grateful hearts, our dear Heavenly Father, we give to you. Receive our gifts, receive our love that goes with them, receive our hearts as we give to you for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Devices. Let's stand and sing our doxology together. Seated. This morning we have some things to pray about, and I have in the bulletin that we would pray number 896, but I think instead of that today we have some opportunities for intercessory prayer. As some of you know, Julie's dad, Leo, went to be with the Lord this week. A joy to him, and a joy to us because we know. We know for ourselves as well, and it's just good. Bob and Mary are recovering from COVID. So we need to pray for them. Roger and Gail's son, whom we know well, is with a group, a substantial group of adults and children, down in Mexico. They arrived. Their plan was to arrive yesterday, so I'm sure they did. And today they begin their ministry for the week. Basically to children and the families of children down in Mexico, Reynosa. And they work out of an orphanage down there, which is an unusual word to say in America because we don't have them anymore. Shirley is traveling, so we certainly can pray for her. Bernie will be traveling soon, but she has one more Sunday with us. Continue to pray for our brother John as a miracle of a vehicle is needed in his case. Other prayer requests. Oh. Right, I forgot the last one on the list. Kathy is recovering down in Millerdwan. Millerdwan, I forget the name of the unit she's in, but whatever. But any other prayer requests this morning? Got a note in the offering plate. I'm standing in the need of prayer, O Lord. You remember that song? So let's pray together.
I've been praying for a man named Greg. He just arrived.
Yep.
The late night ride. He needs a kidney.
Okay.
And dialysis, but he needs a kidney transplant.
Yep. Yep. So is he hospitalized right now?
No, he's fine. I mean.
So he's probably on the wait list. Okay.
He just has to do dialysis 2 or 3 times a week, I guess.
Yep. Okay. Thanks, John. Any other prayer needs? All right, let's pray together. Father, first of all, we give you thanks and praise for the blessed hope that you've planted in our hearts. That hope of eternal life with you. And sometimes, Father, we think about how great it will be to be done with all of the hassles of this life. But even more so, we think of being with you and with your Son Jesus and with brothers and sisters forever and ever and ever. We ask you, Father, to be ministering with Julie's family. Bless Julie and Brian as they travel this journey. We ask that you administer your presence, your truth, and the good news of salvation through your Son, Jesus. Solidify, even improve, the faith of believers, and send the message once again for those who need to take that step. Make that decision of turning to you. We thank you, Father, for our brother and sister, Bob and Mary. We thank you that you've given them some respite this week. Thank you for giving Mary a good night's sleep for a change. And we ask that you'd heal them from COVID, keep the symptoms minimal, and restore them to us in full health. We ask that you'd be with them and minister to them today. Your peace, your joy, and your love. We ask you, Father, to bless Shirley on her journeys. Not just safety, but real blessings of being with people. This morning, as she searches for a church to attend, guide and direct her, and give her spiritual blessings through that process. We ask, Father, for Bernie as she prepares this journey, and Joellen as well, that you would put the pieces together for safety and blessing for them in Mexico, but also the blessing of the two of them being able to fellowship together heart to heart. We ask that you'd continue to provide and put together the pieces of the puzzle that we together with John might be able to find, locate, and purchase a good vehicle for him. This is kind of, Father, in the category of a miracle that we need. But you are the God of miracles, and we stand with him for that miracle. We pray for Greg. We ask, Lord, for a miracle for him, that a compatible kidney would be available for him, that he would be able to get the transplant, and that his body would receive that well. We thank you that he is looking to you and trusting you for the help that he needs. And I'm reminded of John's friend Tim as well. Just keep him strong in his faith as he journeys through this recovery from cancer. There again, Father, a miracle needed for his restoration. Father, we pray for Kathy that you would give her healing. We thank you for the miracle, and we thank you for the gifted medical people involved in that journey. And we thank you for your presence and your guidance through that journey as well. Now, Father, we would submit ourselves to you. We are people. And as people, we are people in need. And so we would ask you to search our hearts, to find those places where we are in need of you. Reach into our hearts and supply our needs. We will glorify you as your son David has said, we will glorify you, honor you, and honor the name of your son Yeshua, whom we call Jesus, that name above all names, who has given us access to you, our Father in heaven. Holy is your name. Amen. Our hymn is number 44, Glory to God, Praise to Your Holy Name.
Praise to your holy name. Through changing years, you ever are the same. In faith we worship here before your face. Your word proclaim and promises embrace. Your blessings, God, bestow on us, we pray. May Christ, who is the truth, the life, the way, be now proclaim with power from above. Our lives redeem and keep us in your love.
Let's pray together. Our Father God, as Paul and his troops, his partners, go forth, beginning this morning to minister, we ask that you would anoint them as they go out, give them strength and endurance for the many tasks that they have to complete, both in ministry and in completing projects that are set before them this week in Mexico. We thank you, Father, for Paul, for the light that he is, for his family, who have all four chosen to be followers of Jesus. We thank you for his ministry at Gethsemane, leading worship and music to honor and glorify you. We thank you that your word is true, that for those who believe, the blessings will fall even unto the third and fourth generation. For our families, Father, we give you thanks that your promise, your word is true, and that we can see and sometimes believe and hope that those blessings will fall unto the third and fourth generation of those who love you. We pray for the people in Ukraine, that you would provide for them the needs that they have for food, shelter, clothing, water, and that you would circumvent the hindrances to getting those needs to the people. For the ministries and missionaries who are reaching out to those people, we ask, Father, that you would give them open doors and access, safety and freedom to reach them with the good news of the gospel of Jesus. Father, in our country, for the immigrants, documented and undocumented, we pray first for our brothers and sisters, that you would give them strength, that their faith would not fail. Give them wisdom of their journey and choices that they need to make. For those who are not believers, we ask that you'd give them safety and help and peace. Help them to see in the midst of all the turmoil and the bad choices and the uncertainty of the future. We ask that you'd reach them with the good news of Jesus, so that in the midst of life they can find the path that really matters. Now this morning, Father, as we study your word, give us the vision of your glory. We thank you through Jesus. Amen. We have been studying hymns, which the scriptures call songs, spiritual songs, and hymns from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, and I'll read verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. We've talked about the mechanisms. That praise is talking about God. Exhortation is talking about us and the goodness of God in our lives. And worship is just talking to Him and to his son Jesus. This morning I want to talk briefly about music. I love music. This week in my journeys to and from Duluth, I had music on. I turned off the radio. Usually when Kathy and I are traveling, we have 99.9 on. She likes country music. And there's some really good songs in country music, and there's some really bad songs in country music. But the radio went off and the CD went in. Because music ministers to me, and I think it ministers to you as well. And we all have music that we like. I like Celtic music. I don't know why. It's in my genes, maybe, something like that. And so I had Celtic music on. I have lots. I'll bet you 20 CDs of Celtic worship and praise music. It's a little hard to find out there, but I find it because I like it. Worship is an incredible experience when we take that opportunity to worship, focusing only on our holy God and through His Son, Jesus. The scriptures tell us that for all eternity, people ask me sometimes, what are we going to be doing in heaven? We're going to be doing a lot of worship. A lot of worship. Worship is not just going to be the services where we get together, where Jesus will act as our high priest, and in that service we will be worshiping God with our high priest Jesus. Worship is going to be a part of our daily lives, even apart from those special opportunities of worship together. Worship, and this is important, worship will also be together. Now I know that we can worship individually, privately. We do that. I do that. Every day in my devotions, I took the cue from the Lord's Prayer that what you start when you are praying is you start with worship. And honoring our God, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Remember, thy is that word that focuses on God. Not talking about us, not talking to each other about God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then the Lord's Prayer goes on to praise, and then the Lord's Prayer goes on to exhortation. It includes all three forms that Paul has directed us to in both Ephesians and Colossians. Music. Music is not the point. The words are the point. But music is an incredible, awesome, and the picture that I drew that I took back downstairs so you didn't have to suffer looking at the ship and the ocean again. Music I picture is like the ocean that carries, that supports, that undergirds. And when we sing, it can do one of two things. It can tie us into the words in worship, praise, and exhortation. Or, and I'm guilty of this, I'm certain that most people are, it can misdirect me to the music itself, and then I forget about the words. That is especially true when I'm singing a hymn that I don't know very well, and I'm paying attention to those notes so I can sing it right, which I don't always do. And so I get focused on singing right, instead of the words. I have on occasion talked to people who say, I can't sing. And my recommendation to them is then, when we sing together, speak the words. Because the words are important. The words are what we are saying out of our hearts about who God is to us. The second thing that's important I've already mentioned is that worship is intended to be corporate. You can read all through the Old Testament the hundreds of incidents described in the Old Testament of worship, and you'll find that in every situation it is corporate. You will find that the admonitions in the Old Testament, the directions that God gives us, is He wants His people to worship Him together. And it's true that in heaven we will be worshiping God together. And that is why I like to point out repeatedly that as we get together in our small little group, worshiping and honoring, praising God, and encouraging one another, that we're not alone. All over the earth, people are worshiping God. And that all together, not just our little voices, but all together ascends to the throne of God and pleases God as He receives that worship and praise. Now some just very practical things about music and worship. Most hymns that are written are not worship in nature. Most of the hymns in our hymnal are praise and exhortation. And so it takes a little work to find hymns of worship. And remember, worship is just words to Him. Praise, exhortation, and worship are all important. Number two, hymns are not intended as doctrine or theology. An example of this is, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." There weren't three kings. We don't know how many magi came. But you talk to people and everybody says there were three wise men that came to Bethlehem. That was poetic license. When people write hymns, when people write music, they take poetic license to make the words fit and the ends rhyme. That's our Western way of doing it. As I mentioned before, the Hebrew poetry did not rhyme, was not intended to rhyme. What their poetry was, sometimes annoying when you read the Old Testament, like the Psalms, their poetry, instead of rhyming, what they did was repeat and repeat and repeat. And so you have sometimes in one verse that you read, the first part of the verse says one thing, and the second part of the verse says the same thing, just using different words. That was their form of poetry. You'll find that repetition in David's Psalms, where he will praise the Lord, discuss with the Lord about problems, praise the Lord, discuss the Lord about problems, praise the Lord, repetitive. That was their form of poetry. Our hymns are not intended to be doctrine or theology. And so there are times when you're singing a hymn that you might take issue with the words that are there. The hymns, music, is intended for us to connect with God and His goodness. One of the hymns that annoys me And this will probably be a shocker to you because it's a hymn that you love. The Old Rugged Cross. And it annoys me because we get to a place in the Old Rugged Cross where it says, I will cling to the Old Rugged Cross. I will not cling to the Old Rugged Cross. I'll tell you that. I will cling, and when I get to that place, I will change the words. I will cling to my Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's maybe not a problem for you, because when you sing, I will cling to the Old Rugged Cross, you're not Mike. And so you know that those words are a metaphor, right? A metaphor for Jesus' sacrifice. And so that doesn't offend you. And so you take that those words as a metaphor, and in your mind you translate it, and you know, just as sure as you're sitting there, you're not going to cling to that thing. You've made that step of translation because it is a metaphor. And we're used to metaphors because the scripture is full of them. Many of the hymns that are written are basically a testimony of someone's encounter with Christ or someone's new encounter with Christ. And so what they're doing is expressing what's happened to them. Probably the best example, again, a hymn that you know well, of this is Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. John Newton's transformation from a slave trader to a believer was dramatic, almost as dramatic as Paul's transformation that we've read about in the scriptures. An encounter with God that so traumatized him and changed him that out of him flowed this poem that he wrote. He didn't write the music. The music was written later. But whoever wrote the music did a pretty good job, right? That hymn is not only sung in Christian churches. It is sung everywhere in the world. They'll play that hymn or have it sung, like at funerals, for example. The other example is our 2024 Christmas Eve service, where we had stories of the Christmas hymns, or we call them carols, and the change or event in the life of people that caused them to write that particular Christmas hymn. Other hymns are written just to write music. The best example probably of that is Fanny Crosby. She wrote thousands of hymns. It was what she did. Many of those hymns are in our hymn book, in our hymnal. But many of them are not. Some of them became very famous, and some of them are unknown. The other thing to know about hymns is hymns are not necessarily scripturally accurate for doctrine. No. The hymns are intended for us to focus on God, focus on Jesus, and focus on the blessings that he has provided. Worship, exhortation, and praise. The other thing about hymns, because they're not necessarily scripturally accurate, what we do is we translate them in our belief system. In other words, we sing those hymns and they're not a problem to us because we translate it through our belief and our faith. You may have experienced this in the changes over the years in your growth in Jesus. So that a hymn that was really important to you back when is now less important, and you have a new hymn that is more important to you, means more to you, because those hymns connect with our faith growth, which means that sometimes hymns are just ones that we sing, and hymns are sometimes ones that hit our heart. I'm sure you've experienced the same thing that I have, maybe when you're alone and you're listening to Christian music and the tears just start running down your face. It hits your heart. It connects. It just blesses you. Most hymns are not, because they're not doctrinal, they're not theological, they're not intended to be understood. Hymns probably should have a sermon for each one. So after we sang the first hymn today, I should have explained, given an application, and provided some scriptural clarity. But we don't do that with hymns because that's not their intention. The intention of hymns is to get us to focus on God. There is something about music, however, in addition to the words. There is something about singing. I'll talk personally. I'm not a good singer. I hope I was at some time because I've done a lot of it. But I like to sing because singing connects me with the words. It connects my emotions and my will to my mind, which is the words that I'm singing. Singing also, as I've illustrated, also affects my heart. Music has also provided an opportunity for me to memorize. I am not good at memorizing. There are people who have memorized whole chapters of the Bible, whole books of the Bible. There is one guy who says that he has memorized the whole Bible. And I believe that there are people who actually can do that. I can't memorize. I have trouble. And so when I put a scripture verse to music, that helps me to memorize. In fact, I would say there are hymns that today you can sing me those words. You can probably sing me more words of hymns than you can recite scripture verses. Music helps us to memorize. Music is also a huge, huge trap. Look at the world and what it has done with music. Unfortunately, music is a gift from God. And I think of great musicians that have done incredible things, become very popular, very wealthy, almost treated like kings and queens in certain situations, and I think, what a waste if that life had only gone for Jesus. But I also think of the many people through life gifted by God with music who did make that decision to use it for the Lord, and we get blessed by those people over and over again. I think back to Pat Boone, more popular than Elvis Presley at one point in time. In fact, Elvis Presley opened for Pat Boone in his concerts in the beginning of Elvis Presley's career. And at one point in time, and you remember, or some of us remember, I should say, Pat Boone in the 50s, love songs that he recorded, many became very, very popular and still being played. And at one point in time, he came to a decision point and said, I'm not going to do this anymore. I am going to use my gift for God. And so he left the movies. I don't know how many movies he did, maybe half a dozen movies. And he left the recording industry and turned his music to his church. Just like our brother Jeffrey, which just blesses me. It is a great gift that God has given to man, and it is a great gift that he has given to us. The music of God that honors him and glorifies him, may he be glorified forever. So let's conclude with a hymn of praise. Number 57. This is my Father's world. And you can stand with me. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me not forget that though the wrong is great and strong, God is the ruler yet. He trusts us with his world to keep it clean and fair. All earth and trees, all skies and seas, all creatures everywhere. This is my Father's world. God shines in all that's fair. In rustling grass I hear him pass. Speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King, let heaven ring. God reigns, let earth be glad. And now let's bless each other in the name of Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious, gracious, gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Well, you do have a good week. You too. I'm coffee.